And a good morning. Friday morning, the final Friday of the month of February. That means it's the Ask Dr. Rick program here on KVSH Radio. I want to remind you that we're not trying to give out medical advice to you. You need to consult your physician on that. Dr. Rick is the general surgeon at the Cherry County Hospital, but we're not representing the Cherry County Hospital in that way, shape, or form. Anyway, we're representing the Cookie Fairy, right?
Yeah, I bring cookies.
You bring cookies in, and that's how he gets us on the air. Just bring cookies, and we put you on the air. So anyway, how you doing? You're surviving the cold?
Yeah, man. I'm very grateful. My wonderful wife last year for a Christmas present got me the electric start. So I could start the car from the window.
But, there you go.
Sometimes I hit the wrong button because I don't have my glasses on and I come out to a frozen car, but it is nice when it works.
Price of gas going up the way it is, you might not want to warm that up. You might have to just put on another layer of coat or something.
Yeah, or just go real fast to the hospital. I only live 2 blocks away.
Oh, well, it's not that big of a deal. All right, so ask Dr. Rick, and if you have a question you'd like to call in, you can text 402-376-6842 or call 376-2400. If you want to be on the air, we'll put you on the air. And if you want to just leave a message with Sue out here, she'll answer the phone and she'll bring it in and we'll get it on there that way. But and if you have ideas for other programs that you'd like to have us investigate a little bit with Dr. Rick, then let us know, and he'll do some research on that. He's usually really good at doing research in the middle of the night. So
it's 5 o'clock this morning.
Yeah. You were up at 5 doing research morning on prostate cancer. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, prostate cancer. It's affects men. Prostate cancer is the most commonly new diagnosis of cancer in the United States. It's the second most common cause of cancer death in the United States, and got to be aware of it. I've always been told that prostate cancer kind of works like this. If you live long enough as a male, you're most likely going to get it. So males at the age of 40 have some form of prostate cancer. Males at the age of 50 have some form of prostate cancer, 50%, 60%, 70%, all the way up the chain. Now, is it a super aggressive one? Is it one that's going to spread? More and more, there's just watchful waiting on some of these cancers that older men have. So it's out there. It's common. What's the good thing about it is, no one ever wants to be diagnosed with cancer, but the 5-year survival rate for prostate cancer is about 98%. So no one wants to be diagnosed, and nobody ever really wants the workup, and we'll talk about the workup here in a minute. But it's something that affects a lot of males out there, and we all sort of, I wouldn't say all of it, a lot of us carry some form of it. So get to it early, get it taken care of, and don't pass away from it.
So if we have that in our system, some way, shape, or form, what makes it become aggressive or active or whatever you want to call that?
Yeah, so adenocarcinomas are carcinomas. I like it from New Jersey. Adenocarcinoma is cancers that come from glands. So kind of like breast cancer, the more you have cycles or length of time with glands that are constantly reproducing something, prostate cancer, and the prostate undergoes changes due to hormones level testosterone in the prostate. The testosterone is converted to something called DHT. So the longer you're alive, the more you're exposed to testosterone, the likely that you will have cells that get funky. We all get funky cells in our body, takes them out of our system. But as we get older, the systems that take things out of our system get a little funky too. So we get DNA changes and things like that. So being alive and being alive longer, you're exposed to more stuff.
I've heard that cookies are a natural inhabitant to inhibitor to prostate cancer, though.
If they have
proven,
if you have a folate cookies, they'll protect you. Not folic acid, but folate cookies, which are green leafy vegetables. So folate is a helpful protective of that.
All right. Well, so let's. I don't know, where do we start? Do we start with what the symptoms are?
Mm-hmm.
Do we start with prevention, or let's start with symptoms? What's a guy looking for there?
Yeah. So sometimes, well, as we get older and men get older, our prostate grows about 3% per year. So it's going to get bigger. It starts out the size of like a walnut, and next thing you know, you've got a grapefruit hanging out down there. So a lot of symptoms early on are symptoms that could be associated with something called BPH, which is benign prostatic hypertrophy, right? If we use big words,
doctors can charge.
Yeah, doctors can charge more. So that's the natural enlargement of the prostate. And there's three zones of the prostate. There's the transition zone, which is the area of the prostate that surrounds the bladder neck. So the prostate sits below the bladder and in, sort of in front of the base of the man parts. Here's a little trivia. You know what the word prostate means in Greek?
No, I do not.
It means one who stands before.
Really?
Yeah.
You're not making that up, are you?
You wouldn't know right now, actually.
No, I would not right now. No, I wouldn't.
So, not to be confused with BPH, but BPH can be the start of it. Sometimes when they're treating your BPH, which is enlargement of the prostate, they can find prostate cancer. So, what are the symptoms of BPH and what are the symptoms of prostate cancer? BPH, well, we talk about frequency and urgency. Frequency of urination, urgency, meaning when I got to go, I got to go. Sometimes you could have blood in your urine. And the inability to empty your bladder. If you're like, you know, I just feel I can go, or stopping and starting. So there's an overlap there. Your prostate can be getting bigger because there's a cancer in it, and your prostate can be getting bigger because it's getting BPH. So the symptoms overlap. Now, if you start to have all these symptoms and you start having a pelvic pain or a lot of blood in the urine, your spidey senses should be telling you that something ain't right.
Go get it checked out.
Go get it checked out.
How do they check that out then when they...
Well, it's nobody's favorite exam to get. So how do we do it? Well, physical exam. And part of that physical exam is a digital rectal exam. That's the... Well, I don't know if you ever watched the movie Fletch.
All of us gentlemen probably know what that is.
Yeah. Out there. When they get the rubber glove and you've got to wonder where that's going. So digital rectal exam. You know, it's... patient men get freaked out by it. Doctors get freaked out by it, but it just needs to be done. And we can get a good feel of your prostate by doing a digital rectal exam and feeling the prostate. And we look for nodularity. So with BPH, the enlargement of the prostate, the enlargement happens in the transition zone, which is the zone just around the bladder neck where the urethra comes out. There's another zone in the prostate, in the outer zone, and I'm blanking on the name of it right now. But that zone is the one that harbors 70% of the overall mass of the prostate, but it's 70% that where most cancers come from. That's the peripheral zone, and then there's the central zone. So BPH, enlargement of the area around the prostate, which is at the base of the bladder, at the bladder neck, and that gets bigger, and then it just sort of cuts off the stream. And then if you have the prostate cancer, that's the peripheral zone where we can feel with a finger most of the time, some of the mm-hmm. time. So that's where we start. So, and usually around the age of 40, we start checking that PSA level, which is the prostatic specific antigen.
And that's a blood check?
The blood drawn, yeah, the PSA. You know, and they throw that out there. So why do we check PSAs? Well, one of the main things of prostate makes a lot of secretions, and that one of those secretions is actually a PSA, and actually makes semen more watery, believe it or not. That's the part of the prostate. So it makes more, and it adds a high pH to the fluid, so all those fluids can do what they need to do. So we check a PSA, and there's a number of 4 out there, 4.0, and everybody kind of hangs their hat on 4.0, and it's not 4 yet. 4 is when we go, okay, we got to really start thinking about doing something here. But we kind of look more at the trend. So if you're walking around, your PSA is 0.01, and your right is rain, and then a year later it's 0.5, and then you're like, okay. And so they say, well, we're going to check that and repeat it, and they check and repeat it 6 months, and now it's 1. They won't always wait till it gets to 4 to do something, but that's kind of a number that gets thrown out there by the urologists, and they go back and forth there all these years. But we look at trends. And if your PSA is going up, then we're going to say, okay, what's going on here? Now, your PSA will go up because you're getting older. If you have a prostate, that's going to grow 3% a year. And it's going to make PSA. Well, if you have more prostate, you're going to make PSA. And it can go up because if you have BPH, the enlargement of prostate. So we really look at the trends. And once your PSA goes up or the trend is not what we want it to be, it's starting to double every couple of months, then we go on to other things. And usually go to urology consult. And when you get to see urologists, they can do another fun thing. They can do a transrectal ultrasound. They actually put a probe in your tuchus, same area where we're feeling for your prostate, and they ultrasound the prostate, and they can look at the prostate and see if it's nodular or irregular. Then if they say, well, that's nodular and irregular, they take biopsy. So they can do some biopsies with that ultrasound probe. They're tolerated very well. They'll take 15 or 20 biopsies, really super, super small. And then they send those off. And when they send them off, then what the pathologist will look at, and he'll form something called a Gleason scale. It's not something that Jackie Gleason on Honeymooners,
not the comical guy.
Yeah. To the moon, Alice. But he'll get a Gleason score. And the Gleason score basically looks at your cells, and a Gleason score is from 2 to 10. You're like, well, can't there be a 1? Not really. Because they take two numbers when they look at your cells, and they kind of put them in, how funky are these cells? They look at the most funky cell, and they say, okay, that's, say we give that a 4. And then we see the less funky cell, and that's a 3, and they put them together and get a 7. And then they kind of look at the biopsies, if, 18 out of 20 are the 7 type, or the 4 type cells, and just 30% or less are the 3. That kind of talks about what they call groups.
Now it sounds like you're throwing algebra in there.
So. Yeah, so it's the long math. So, and then they look at your PSA. So if your PSA usually is over 10, and your Gleason score is, around is 7, 8, 9, 10, then you're on the hook to do something. Mm-hmm. If your Gleason score is super low and your PSA is in that, then we get into, we do some watchful waiting. Do we do an MRI of the prostate? Do we just check your PSAs, or do we do biopsies again? So depending on your age and your Gleason score and your group number, they could put a stage, and then they go from there. And the options for prostate cancer treatment is, you can have your prostate taken out. Mm-hmm. Part of the workup for if you get diagnosed with prostate cancer, they want to say, okay, is this advanced or locally advanced, or has it gone somewhere else? And they will sometimes get an MRI or CAT scan. And if it looks like it's out of where it should be, then that changes your stage, and then they can offer you other things. So initially, if it's well controlled within the prostate and they can remove the prostate, you can get a radical prostatectomy. And a radical prostatectomy is they take the prostate and the seminal vesicles, and if they get in there and the lymph nodes look pretty funky, they start taking some lymph nodes out. They could also do, if your Gleason score is high and they think it's above a level where they would offer surgery, then they can do what we call external beam radiation, where they send you to the radiation oncologist and they'll radiate your pelvis and around the prostate. They can also do internal radiation. They talk about radiation seeds, where it's a procedure that some urologists can do in their office. They actually put little BBs in your prostate, and they leave them there, and it just basically radiates the prostate, and that's one way to get rid of the prostate cancer. Or there's a procedure where they can do a cystoscopy. They kind of go and put a little camera down your bits and pieces down there, and they can put seeds or little probes in your prostate and give you a big wallop zap of radiation and take them out.
So there's a variety of treatment options there, I guess.
Yeah, and the seeds are, I would say, falling out of favor a little bit. More and more, they're saying, well, if you're going to do seeds, we put them right where the cancer is, and then we do external beam radiation on the rest of your prostate. So that's sort of changing, and there's some new therapies directed where they can put drugs that go to your prostate, have a little bit of radiation on them. And sometimes they just say, this is, unfortunately, the horse is out of the barn here. We're just going to leave the prostate where it is, and we're going to give you medicines like Lupron or medicines that block testosterone, or very radical, not radical, but one alternative is like, wait, is there a way we can have you not have a lot of testosterone around? Well, they'll do an orchiectomy, and that means remove some of your man part that make testosterone. I'll let you fill in the gaps about what part you think that is.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we're asking Dr. Rick if you have questions. Our number is 402-376-2400 here at KVSH Radio. If you have questions about this or other medical questions you'd like to have us get some research on or give us an answer today, you can text me at 402-376-6842, and we can get to Dr. Rick that way as well. returning to the comment program this morning with Ask Dr. Rick, Dr. Richard Malachek from Cherry County Hospital. We're not offering medical advice, so just trying to give you some information to digest. If you do have a question for us, call us at 402-376-2400. We can put you directly on the air with Dr. Rick in here, talking about prostate cancers today. And Rick, where did we leave off on that, Doc?
I don't know. I saw something shiny, and I had to follow it for a few minutes.
You got distracted in there.
Yeah.
A fishing lure or something.
I need to go fishing soon. I just sit around buying fishing equipment.
It'll be soft water. It'll be soft water soon. You can get that boat back out again for the year.
I'm excited about that. So how about we do some some treatments and protective stuff? So initially, early on, we're talking about BPH, and how do I treat that? A lot of times guys don't come in to get treated for BPH, but their wife brings her in. Like, I'm tired of him getting up all night and waking me up for him to urinate. Or I have a dog named Jenny who's all about the tennis ball. She always thinks when I get out of bed to go toward eating in the middle of the night, it's time to play ball. Mm-hmm. So she gets the whole house up. So we got sick of that. So one thing you can do, so we can put something on something called Terazosin or Hytrin, and that's an alpha blocker. What does that mean? That's a drug that'll help relax the lower part of the bladder and the lower part of the bladder neck. And so one thing when you're fighting back urination all the time, or you're really got to kind of pee against the prostate that's in your way, your bladder gets really big. And we, as men, we get better at holding our pee because we have to go all the time. So you start working those muscles, and they get big, just like if you do bicep curls. So you can relax those muscles by a drug called Terazosin. Also, what's good about Terazosin, it helps with blood pressure. So that's one way to do that. Or they put you on something called Flomax, and you can imagine what Flomax does and helps you with your flow. Flomax and Avodart are drugs that help sort of block the conversion of testosterone to that DHT stuff, the active form of testosterone. So those are some ways to get feeling better. If your prostate gets large enough, then they can do a TURP, which is a transurethral resection of prostate, or Roto-Rooter. And there's some new therapies out called a LIFT procedure, where they actually go in and they put these cool little staples and kind of staple your prostate open a little bit more. I watched last week our urologist, Dr. Santa Cruz, do it. Super quick procedure. Or they go in there with a little probe and they do high pressure steam, kind of power wash your prostate get it to shrink that way. Also low dose Cialis. High dose Cialis, well, that's used for ED problems, but Cialis is pretty expensive. And if you get on the low dose, which is 5 milligrams a day, I won't tell you how I know that, it's cheaper and you're kind of two birds, one stone kind of thing.
So is there a dietary things that help out with this?
Yeah. So things that are proven to help protect against bladder cancer. The risk factors, bladder cancer, being over the age of 50. Prostate cancers are diagnosed between the age of like 60 and 74. Positive family history, first degree relative, brother, dad, people that are in your immediate family. Is a risk factor if they have prostate cancer. Hormone therapy, there's some data out there that they think if you have more testosterone, like we talked about earlier, more exposure to the prostate can make the prostate get bigger and turn funky on you. Folate is protective. Now, not folic acid. Folic acid is the synthetic form of folate, but folate in green leafy vegetables is protective. And then being on Avodart or Flomax, like we talked about earlier, those are the ones that help block testosterone being converted to DHT. Things are not proven to prevent prostate cancer. Selenium.
So are these myths then, or are they? They're not proven, but some people have results with it, they think.
Yeah, it's not myths. It's stuff you see on late night TV, or call this number, if you want, and we'll order, send you free sample, but you have to give us your credit card, and we'll charge you every month, whether you like it or not. Maybe that's what it is. Things that are not proven: selenium, vitamin E, large doses of vitamin E, like crazy levels of vitamin E, not good for the prostate. Taking a lot of multivitamins, never panned out. And then some things that gained a little traction, something was called lycopene. Lycopene was out there, and people said it was going to help you, and it hasn't panned out that it does help protect you from prostate cancer.
that made me, I had to jot a note down here, and I thought maybe we should do a program sometime about vitamins.
Okay.
So put that one in your hat band and come on up. And if folks out there have suggestions for things they'd like to hear a little bit more about, it'd be nice maybe we get a couple of different things that Dr. Rick could research, bring back to us, and talk about two things in a program or something like that. So if you have suggestions, doesn't have to be on the radio. You can send me a note or just text me or call the radio station after the program and just say, hey, what about talking about this or that? So vitamins would be one, because I know certain vitamins, you can overdose on them or they don't do any good because your body sloughs them off. And so proper amounts, those kind of things are important, but that's on a different subject. So that's vitamins. Let's finish up. We've got a couple of minutes left in here to talk about the prostate cancer. And as always, folks, consult your general physician. If you go to the doctor, get the PSA tested, have them look at it. One thing we haven't mentioned are colonoscopies. Mm-hmm. Where does that play a role in detection of this kind of stuff as well?
Well, yeah, you get the benefit of colonoscopy. When the male or female is asleep, a digital rectal exam is done because we can palpate things. And sometimes our own trial, when I do, when patients sleep and they're comfortable, and we do the prostate exam, which is the digital rectal exam, we're going to put a scope pass there, but you get a freebie. I'll feel the prostate. And every once in a while, yeah, I guess there's something good that comes out of that. I'll do the prostate exam. I know guys are like, well, I'm going to get a prostate exam in 5 years, so I don't need one right now. Nah, just grin and bear it, I guess, and get it done. But during the colonoscopy, I'll do the prostate exam. And every once in a while, I feel a nodule, and I get them referred off. And I've found a few prostate cancers that way.
So you need to be aware of those things. As always, I think one thing that you've mentioned is to pay attention to your body. If your body's telling you something, you probably need to get it looked at. You know, don't just say, I got that little bit of a pain here or there.
People around here are salt of the earth, and man, if they can't do anything, that they can't feed their cows or get on their horse, be stomped by the horse, something they can't do ranching, you know, they just kind of put it off. And I understand it, the ranching stuff doesn't happen by itself. It's hard labor, but you know, you need to take a moment when it's not calving season, when it's not branding season, when it's not AI season, which is pretty much all the seasons.
That takes pretty much the year. I don't know if there's ever a slow time anymore for any of us, whether it's ranching or just doing radio business or something. It seems like it stays busy all the time.
Yeah, I see patients all the time like, oh, I got to fix your hernia. But, well, I said, you know, after I do your hernia surgery, 6 weeks, no strength sensitivity, no lifting more than 20 pounds. And they just look at you like, well, that ain't going to happen. I'm like, I'm a doctor. I can only make recommendations.
I was going to say, whether they follow it or not, that is yours. And, of course, contact your physician, whoever that might be. And if you want to call Dr. Rick, I'm sure he'd carve a couple minutes out to elaborate on any of the things that we've talked about in here today. Anything to finish up with on today's subject, Dr. Rick?
We had some birthdays. My nurse, Ivana Purdy, will have birthday Saturday.
Oh.
We celebrated Mardell's birthday Wednesday, Thursday. And Greg, who also works in the operating room, is having a birthday. So happy birthday, everybody. I love birthdays. It gives me a chance to eat cake. And I'm always down with cake.
Cake is good, right?
Yeah, birthday cake is wonderful.
All right. Well, Dr. Rick, thanks for coming in.
Yes,
appreciate
sir.
Your time again today.
Thank you, sir.
Dr. Richard Malachek, who's the general surgeon for Cherry County Hospital, and we're not representing Cherry County Hospital here. Want to make sure that we throw that out there. But Dr. Rick gives us a little bit of his time each month on the final Friday of the month to talk about medical issues. And if you have suggestions, if you call right now, you can catch him before he runs out the door. And then you can ask him that question, and maybe he can do some research and come back and report on that again in a future program, which would be, again, a month away on the 25th day of March.